Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices
and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Philip, would you like to come up? And we are going to pray for you before you speak. Jesus, thank you for Philip, for the time he spent preparing this talk, and for your Spirit helping him today. We ask that you would open our ears, our minds and our hearts to receive what you want to reveal to us now. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Okay. Well, good morning, everybody. Let me just get myself sorted out, get my Bible out, get the right notes. Yeah, that's them. Oh, now you have a choice. You can either go and do praise flags over there, or you can sit and listen to me. Now, if I was you, I'd go and do place flags, because that'll be much more interesting than listening to me. And you'll have something to show for it at the end. And, well, I hope you'll have something to show for it after the end of my talk, but you never know. Right, okay, glasses. Thank you, Linda and Sam, for leading the service this morning. Thanks to them and their interview, you now know more about me than I do, and more than anyone really needs to know. So I think you'll probably forget it, though. You'll pass me in the street, in New Malden High Street, and you'll think, was it lentils or was it cheesy Doritos or something like that? If you recognise me at all, I doubt if you will, but there we go. I like the flavour of Chris's question. It makes you think how you want people to see you or appreciate you, perhaps. I mean, how do you want people to appreciate you? Do you want to be strong and tangy, or do you want to be subtle like a lentil, lightly sea-salted crisp? I'll leave that with you. So Colossians 3, verses 1 to 17, Alive in Christ, the last of our series that we've been doing jointly here and at St. John's. I like these summer services when we get together. It's nice to know that there are other Christians in New Malden than just us at St. John's. And, you know, you all seem all right at New Malden Baptist. I often think, we were talking yesterday, Joy and I, we were driving down the road and we passed a sign to some church or other, and Joy said to me, wouldn't it be great if all the Christians in New Malden all came together in one place? There'd be loads of us and we could, well, we'd probably fight and squabble and things like that. But it would be really good if all the Christians were together, but at least some of us are together today and have been together for the last 4 weeks, and I think that's really great. So, Colossians 3, verses 1 to 17, alive in Christ. When I saw that I'd been asked to do this talk, got over the shock of being asked, decided that I couldn't get out of it. Speakers do think like that, you know. There weren't any relatives I could ask to invite us down for this weekend or anything like that. And I looked at the passage and I realized I've done this before. So I looked back and found that I have. About this time last year at St. John's, I was asked to talk on this very passage under the title Modeling Godly Character. Now, those of you at St. John's all remember that series, don't you? I thought, great. All I have to do is get out my talk from last year and use it again. People from New Malden Baptist won't have heard it before, and everyone from St. John's will have forgotten it, haven't you? Yeah, well, I knew you would have done. And off we go. So, did I do that? No, well, I didn't. Because, you know, and I thought, I do like the way God works sometimes. I'm sorry, I'm digressing here because I'm trying to get the right next page up. Wasn't it amazing that Sam and Linda chose that passage in Isaiah 43 today, where it says in verse 8, and I should have known they were going to do this, but I didn't really look it up. See, I am doing a new thing, says God. And I'm sitting there listening to that, and I thought, that's exactly what I thought. Because when you come back to God's word, you find there is always something new, always something fresh, always something alive. God is going to do a new thing all the time. God is doing something new. And as it says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's alive. The word of God is alive and living. And when we come back to it, just as I did coming back to this passage a year later, you find something new, something fresh that God is giving you. And we've got to be looking for God to give us fresh things and new things from his word. As we read God's word, as we think about it, as we study it, as we pray about it, there is always something new that God wants to show us, to bring to us, to encourage us, and to help us with. So every time I come back to that favorite passage of mine in Isaiah and read those words, fear not, for I have redeemed you, I have called you by name, you are mine. They always seem fresh and alive and new. And when we come back to God's word, we find that things are fresh and alive and new. And I'm sure there will be verses in the Bible that are like that for you. And when I come back to the story of Jonah, I've liked the story of Jonah and ever since I was probably about that high. And, you know, this story of Jonah about how he runs away from God and how God brings him back and, you know, he gets all cross and God sorts him out. There's always something fresh and new that God brings us from his word. And we've got to be looking for these new, fresh, wonderful things that God is going to bring us. And this is perhaps something of what Paul means in verse 16, where he... Oh, let me make sure I'm in the right passage, yeah. This is something of what Paul means in verse 16, where he said, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. Let the message of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the message of Christ dwell in me richly. As God brings us these new things, God shows us new things about himself, about loving him and serving him. Let the message of Christ dwell in you richly. As the song we sang said, Jesus lives in me, the hope of glory, that new hope, that wonderful new hope which comes with Jesus. So that when we come together as we are this morning, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, that's verse 12 in our passage today. I'm sort of jumping about through the passage really. God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, we can share the things that God has given us, the things that God has shown us from his word, from our prayers, from our worship of him, from being alive in Christ. Hold on a moment. Let me get to the next page. Why does paper always stick together when you don't want it to? Here we go. Yeah, that's page 3. And we're all to do this. It's for everyone, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, says Paul. It's not just for church leaders, those who stand out the front and take some public role. It's for everyone to find these new things in God that God is bringing to us. We're all to do it. How do we do this practically, though? Because, you know, I think Paul wrote these letters, all these letters that we get in the Bible, these letters of Paul, I think he wrote them to be practical guides. They're not just academic treatises. He didn't just sort of sit down and think, well, I'll work out some spiritual pathway here for people. He wrote them to be practical. I think we sometimes forget that he was writing to people. Well, he wasn't in Colossians, in fact, because he was writing to people that he didn't know. But very often he's writing to people that he knows, and he says, do this, follow my example. So how do we put these things into practice? They're not just academic things to be studied and pored over. They're to be put into practice. And also, as it says in James chapter 1, verse 22, do not merely listen to the word. Do what it says. It's all very well, us Christians, getting together on a Sunday morning and all sitting around and listening to amazing sermons from people and lot of people like me. But we've got to do something about it. It's got to be active. It's got to be alive. We've got to do something about it. Don't just listen, says James. Do it. Don't just listen, do it. So, some practical ideas. Do you have home groups at New Malden Baptist? Yeah? Is everybody a member of a home group? No? Why not? You should be, because that's somewhere where we can be together, alive in Christ, sharing what God gives us, bringing to each other. That's where we can teach and admonish and, what is it? Admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. I would commend to you joining a home group. At St. John's, we're starting one, or I'm looking at Linda now because she's a church warden. We're starting one or two new home groups in September, I think. Two. So, you know, if you're from St. John's and you're not in a home group yet, why not? Join one of them. Be in a place where you can share together, where you can grow together, where you can be alive in Christ together. Join a home group. Teach one another in the home group through your different experiences of God, and what he has done for you and through you. I'm not quite sure how I'm doing on time, but grow together in Jesus as you do all this in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And that's in verse 17 of the passage that we read. Is there a group for young people at New Malden Baptist? Yeah. Are you a young person? Clearly I am, well, I am not. I look in the mirror sometimes and there's this old man looking back at me. And I think, that's not me. Where is the young, fit, handsome person that I feel inside. And, I caught a glimpse of myself in a mirror somewhere, and I thought, who is that? But anyway, you know, I'm not young, but if you're young, join the youth group. Share in what they do. Share with them the things that God is doing for you and through you. Share together the problems and difficulties of being a young Christian in this modern world. And there are a multitude of those, I'm sure. There were plenty enough when I was young, longer ago than I care to remember. But I think the problems that young people face now are even worse, even more difficult than I did 10 years ago. Well, times about four, I think. We are alive in Christ together as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. Perhaps there are other ways in which you can be alive in the life of the church. When Joy and I came to St. John's, I've got a few years ago, I didn't realise it was nine, we came from another church in Kingston, a church that we had been going to for yonks and had been greatly involved with for many years. So when we got to St. John's, I thought, great, now we can just relax. We can just sort of sit in the pews, listen, come and go, and do nothing. And that's what we've been doing for the last 9 years. Well, that didn't last very long, I can tell you. Somehow or other, they got us doing this, and they got us doing that, and they got us doing something else. But we're all growing together, alive in Christ, serving Him, worshiping together. There is always something that God wants us to do when we are alive together in Christ. Always some way to serve Him, to serve the church, to serve each other. Being alive together, there is always some way we can serve. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. It seems to me, and perhaps to you also, that in some ways I've approached this passage back to front, the wrong way round. I've started at somewhere around verse 15 or 16. I've gone back to verse 12 a bit, and I've said nothing about verses 1 to 11, all those bits at the beginning that we read through. I think that's because when we are alive in Christ together, when we are sharing together, when we are growing together, when we are serving together, the things mentioned in the earlier verses, 1 to 11, no, they don't become easier, but become more understandable, perhaps. When a problem arises in the church, and problems do arise in churches, if we are sharing together, if we're growing together, if we are alive together, we become better able to respond with compassion, that's verse 12, rather than anger, verse 8. When another Christian or anyone hurts us, if we are alive together and growing together, we are better able to respond with kindness, that's verse 12, rather than rage and malice, verse 8. When we are insulted or belittled, and that can happen in churches too, we are better able to respond with humility and gentleness, verse 12, rather than with slander and filthy language, verse 8. When someone lies to us, and that happens in churches too, verse 9, we are better able to respond with forbearance and forgiveness, verse 13. When we are tempted to discriminate on the grounds of race or status or economic circumstances, When we are alive in Christ together, we are better able to see that there is no distinction between us. We're all the same, that Christ is all and is in all. And in all these situations, when we are alive in Christ together, when we are sharing together, when we are growing together, we are better able to respond with love, which binds all together in perfect unity. That's verse 14. And in this way, we will be setting our minds on things above and not on earthly things. That's right back to verse 2. I have to say, though, that this is not necessarily easy. Being alive, life is not necessarily easy. And this is where the allotment reference comes in. We, that's Joy and I, have an allotment. Not the greatest allotment in the world. If you came to our allotment site, you would see that ours is on a scale of 1 to 10, where 10 is up here being really nice, 1 is down here being really overgrown. Ours is probably somewhere about 3 or 4. Sometimes it might make it up to 5, but most of the time it's down there at 3 or 4. But anyway, we like it, this allotment. Things grow, we pick them, and we eat them. It's great. Great, I recommend it. Get an allotment. It's really good. I always say we grow the most expensive vegetables in New Malden. That's the trouble with allotments. You think you're getting things for free when really it costs you a load more than going down to Lidl and buying it off the shelves. Anyway, though, with this allotment, I quite often have a problem with things taking a long time to grow. I'm the sort of person who I go out, I put the seeds in the ground, and I expect the next day to come back and find a plant fully covered with fruit. But life's not like that. It can take 2 weeks or so before you see even the tiniest little shoot. And as for the fruit, well, that can be months away. And in fact, we planted some asparagus at the allotment a few years ago. I do like asparagus, but with asparagus, it's 3 years at least before you can start thinking about cutting anything, cooking it and eating it. Great when you do, but 3 years. And so it is with the things we've been thinking about this morning. It can, it will, it does take time for us to be alive together in Christ. It takes time for compassion and kindness and forbearance to grow among us. But it will happen. It can happen. It does happen. Let's begin at least. As James says, don't just listen to the word. Do what it says. And he goes on to say about those who hear, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Let's begin at least. Let's do what the word says. Let's do what God wants us to do. Let's live together. Let's be alive together in Christ. Let's grow together. Let's live together. Let's serve together. We'll be doing something. I suppose, though, it will only be when Christ, who is our life, appears that these things will be complete. And we will also appear with him in glory. That's verse 4. And what a day that will be when Christ, who is our life, appears. I'm looking forward to it. I think. Possibly with some trepidation. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. There might be some challenges when Jesus appears. He might say, yeah, you know, that sermon you did about getting on and doing things, what did you do about it? That stuff about being alive with Christ and all the rest of it, what did you do about that? But yeah, I'm looking forward to the day when Jesus returns. Aren't we all? I hope so. And I think that's enough from me. I've probably gone on too long, so I'm going to sit down and hand back to Linda and Sam. Thank you.